G'day and welcome to another episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. We are here with my friend Tash, aka Iron Tash. You may know her as, and we're chatting about lessons from lockdown. Tash, my good friend, how the hell are you?
You know, I'm actually quite good. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem. I love when people are really honest with their answer when you say to people, how are you? Because most people say, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. And you are definitely one of those people where I've known for many years that we were just talking about, but you will say how you feel. And it's always great when I think people are vulnerable with the truth, whether that's bad or whether it's really good. So it's great to hear that you are doing well. What's been happening?
What's been happening? Well, I've been in lockdown since March. So as a contractor, I contract to a bank in Mayfair, and I haven't been back in the office since, I think it's like the middle of March now. And for me, it's kind of like same, to a point where I'm still working every day. I still get up in the mornings, make my bed. I find making my bed, I've made my bed all the time anyway, that's irrelevant. things are fine. I do go through moments of loneliness because I live on my own in a big house, which I'm really grateful for, actually, that I have a bigger house, because I have a space for an office, I have space for a training room, and I can like close my office at the end of the day and not come back in here and sort of keep it separate. But there are times where things are really grand and then things are just really lonely.
So you are working still pretty busy. I know you're a busy woman with your work, with your contracting. And you're a triathlete, a 13-time iron distance triathlete. So have you been training during this period?
Wow, great question. I have been training, but I've been training in the sense that as soon as I knew that it was very likely that my race was going to be cancelled, and for the first time in 5 years, I only had one race this year, and that was just to validate my Kona legacy spot, and now that is being deferred to next year. So as soon as I knew that there was going to be no racing, I was like, you know what? This is a gift from the universe, because it will allow me to just slow down, like really slow down, because the past few years have been really hectic by my own creation, you know, traveling, racing, working, running a brand, you name it, I was doing it, you know, being married, getting divorced, all the kind of things. So it's been a full-on 5 years. So this 2020 was always going to be a new chapter, but I think with COVID, as awful as it is, it has forced me personally to slow down, really appreciate the small things. So reading a book, not getting up all the time and training for 3-4 hours a day. I have to remember not to compare myself to people on social media, because I am on there a lot. Really look at people going, actually, do you know what? You might be training, but your job is you're a gym person, like you work in a gym, or that is your job. So, yeah, it's been good and bad.
And for people who know you personally will know that you saying that it's been nice to slow down and it's been really good to slow down is almost like, hang on, I need to sit down for this. Tash is going to slow down. I've known you for what do we say, probably 6 years now.
6 years?
And yeah, 6 years. You've done 13 iron distance triathlons in 6 years, and you have done them all around the world. And you are a very busy woman. You don't stop. You are flat out. And that is just you. You know, that is anyone who first meets you might think, wow, like she's all over the place. But then after you know you for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you just realize, no, that's just Tash. So what has it been that's changed, whether it's something that you think about or something that you've learned that enabled you to be comfortable to slow down in yourself?
Well, I think with the training, so usually it would be like get up, train, go to work, on the train to the work, like the job that pays me my daily income. That time on the train was running my brand, which is my side hustle. Then I'd work all day, get on the train, work my brand, come home, and then actually physically train. So it was, this was just a constant thing that I did, like all the time. And then being able to now work from home, it's, there are pros and cons to working from home, but the pro is that I can still get up, and those first 2 to 2.5 hours in the morning can be spent on reading, you know, me doing morning routine, you know, doing some training if I feel like it, not because I have this, like my frame of mind as soon as I knew that the races were cancelled was, I've got a year off. I can just do whatever I want.
And how did you take that? Because I know that you just love racing. And one of the reasons, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons why you love racing is you love the community of the triathlon community, because a lot of people know you as Iron Tash, this, and I mean this in the most loving way, which you know, this is this character, this big character that is Iron Tash. You know, the first couple of iron distance races you did, you finished with a cape. You know, that was Iron Tash. I remember this. So, like, how was it for you to then just sort of say, you know, you're used to racing, you're used to going around the world, seeing friends that you have all around the world within the triathlon community. Like, you said, oh, it's great. Okay, 220, COVID's happened. There is no races. I've got a year off. Like, I'm going to say that Tash 12 months ago would have been freaking out that she's got no races and what am I going to do? Like, how did you mentally process the fact that, okay, 2020 is done because of COVID? How did you just go, okay, that's cool, it's done? Like, what was the process that got you to that point?
Well, it was kind of easy because it was completely out of my control. So the fact that it wasn't my decision was more like, well, the races are cancelled. I can't fly anywhere. It's completely out of my control. And I'm one of those people where if it's out of my control, there is just no point in wasting any of my time or energy that I will never get back on something that I have absolutely no control over. So I was just like, okay, well, the decision's made. What can I do? And because I do run my own business, I went to, do you know what? It's time to pivot. How do I grow my brand? How I need to get more exposure. I need to be a leader in my community for my brand and let them know that, hey, you know, this is a time where you can actually enjoy life. You know, we're not paid. I'm not paid to be a triathlete. I'm paid to be a business analyst, project manager. So my focus is obviously with that. But the triathlon side is the fun, the passion. And yeah, it was devastating initially. It's like, oh my God, how do I validate for Kona? They want me to, what if I don't get to validate? Does that mean I have to do it next year? Like, does that mean my place gets sent further out? But you know what? It was handled all really well. I knew within a decent time frame, there was no race. I communicated with my community, the Stomp the Pedal community, a lot on our own private Facebook and on social media. And I thought the only way to lead by example is to lead by example. So I get on the bike and I do, you know, as much Zwifting. I've always been on Zwift, but this is just something that I do. I created virtual meetups for every Saturday morning with my Stomp the Pedal familiar so that anyone who wants to ride, you know, we can ride. We pick a course, we unlock a course. Like, you just, it just was an opportunity to pivot. And I think at the end of the day, like I said before, if it's out of your control, why get frustrated with it? Like, we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat.
Yeah, 100%. And I love that. That's definitely what, as you know, for me, is it's one of the things that I don't waste any time on. If I can't literally control it, like the weather. You know, everyone in the UK, at least, a lot of people complain about the weather, and I just don't quite understand that because you can't do anything about it. And you know, you
live, I know, it's funny, right? Because we're both Aussies.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, why would you come here? And it's like, why not?
Yeah, exactly. So I want to go back. I am going to talk about Stomp the Pedal, your side hustle, your brand, in a second. We are going to get to that because I think that's quite interesting, because you also have a side hustle alongside your very demanding day job, so to speak. But you mentioned that you have a morning routine. I'm always intrigued to hear other people's morning routine, and this question's more for me. I'm intrigued what your morning routine is. So can you share it with us?
It's bad and it's good. It's good and it's bad, and it changes. Like, one month it'll be one thing, and then next month it'll be something else. At the moment, I'm really bad. But I wake up and the first thing I do is I look at my phone.
Why is that the first thing you do?
Well, because I run a business, right? So sales occur when I'm sleeping. So I need to, when I wake up, I need to see what sales have happened, because then I need to redesign my morning if I need to pack orders and then get to the delivery center before they shut and before my day starts at work. So the first thing I do is I check my phone, have a look at if any exciting stuff has happened sales wise. And then it's usually get up, give the cat a cuddle, get my coffee. And then I have this amazing loft in my rental at the moment where I live. In upstairs, it's just this amazing space where the light shines through. I've got this cool, comfy, you know, chair with, you know, the stool at the end, and I've got like a little side table. So I have my coffee up there. Usually one of the cats comes and sits on my lap, and, you know, do a bit of quick reading, and just have some time out. And then I go, okay, it's time for me to do some training. So, and at the moment, my training could be anything from 20 minutes with yoga with Adrian, to riding my bike for 45 minutes to an hour. What I have had the greatest difficulty that I've had so far in this lockdown is I've gotten so comfortable with being inside my house that it's becoming quite a struggle for me to just go for a walk, which is probably the weirdest thing ever, because I'm an outdoor person. But yeah, I don't even run anymore. Like, I just don't even like running.
So and this might be an obvious question, but I want to ask it to see what your answer is, but what do you feel like is holding you inside? Or stopping you from going outside?
I'd say laziness. No, I don't know. Like, I always had an issue with running anyway, because I just can't stand it and I'm not good at it. But like this morning, I did wake up. I actually have to mentally prepare myself. So if I get up in the morning and I go, right, I am going to get up now. I am going to have a coffee. I am going to put on my clothing that's suitable for going outside, and I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to walk out the door. Now, if I keep that mantra going, it literally means I will get out the door and I'll go. It's getting out there. Once I'm out there, blissful, isn't it? Amazing. I'm in the forest. It's amazing. But that whole stepping of being so comfortable inside, it's like, oh, I don't need to go out. COVID's, you know, there's COVID. There's no need for me to be outside. So I'll just stay inside.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where you give yourself an excuse to stay inside. And with, let's say, it sounds like a large period of your time has been, I haven't been outside for several days. Are you, and I know you'll be honest, are you productive with your time now that you are, that like during this period when you were staying inside rather than going out for an hour or two walk, getting some exercise, feeling good about yourself because you are outside and from the sun and fresh air and all the rest of it? Like, were you productive with your time when you were just simply inside all day?
Yeah, well, my corporate job is really demanding right now. It's causing a lot of fatigue, like mental fatigue. And it's because we're always either on a call or we're on meetings. It's harder to get in touch with people. So it makes my projects difficult. In terms of productiveness outside of my day job, I'm actually in the process of not launching, but I've got three new products that I want to bring out to market for my brand. So this time that I've been spending indoors, has been productive. If it's not being productive with product development, it's being productive with the fact that I've read more books in lockdown than I've read in the last 3 years.
Have you read my book yet?
Yeah, I've got your book. Yeah. I'm in it. I'm in that book.
No, have you read it?
Yes, I've read it. I read it when it first came out. So that was like 2 years ago.
Nearly, yeah. What books have you been reading?
Like the Reese Witherspoon, she has like a book club. Mm-hmm. So I've just been grabbing things. I also, with the whole Black Lives Matters, getting more educated on stuff that I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm a person of color, I think more white than I do anything. And plus, there's like 50 shades of color, and I don't feel I'm dark enough to talk about certain things. It's a whole weird thing. But anyway, I'm reading, I have White Fragility and why I won't speak to white people about race. Mm. So it's just, you know, it's all reading. And then there's other things like I've read Where the Crawdads Sing. Like there's just some really cool books and it's an opportunity to escape. So it's a bit of escapism from the four walls. You read a book and you can be like taken on a journey somewhere completely different.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite cool.
I find this chat with you right now really interesting because you are a massive people's person. And what I'm hearing is just like you're enjoying the time by yourself. I know you've got cats, but you know, in terms of humans, you're enjoying this time by yourself. You're enjoying, you know, slowing down, reading a book, just being with yourself. And I think like this is an evolution of you as a person, because I've never heard you speak like this and be comfortable with doing it. Like there've been times, no doubt, where you've said, right, I'm going to read more books and I'm going to start meditating and I'm going to start doing yoga and I'm going to do this and I'm going to structure my day. It's going to be great. And then 2 months later, no, I couldn't be bothered. That was all too hard. Is that fair?
It's so true. First of all, I really love myself. So I love hanging out with me. I'm really good fun. I also think a lot of the self-development work I did in my 20s, when I went through stuff in my 20s, really has equipped me for things like this. I think also my sudden separation, upcoming divorce in the last 12 months, that really has, I spent Christmas alone and New Year's, I think alone as well. I don't remember now what I did, but so when we went into COVID, even though I was on my own, I was cool with hanging out with me. And I just thought, oh my God, this is a real opportunity for me to just do all the me kind of things without the pressures of having to go and do things with others. Not that I was ever pressured to doing things with others, but I do miss my friends.
But as you said, it's taken out of your control. So you couldn't go and see friends and stuff like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
one thing that I would say is every Sunday so my family are all in Australia. There is no blood relative here in the UK. So my parents, my cousins, everybody, they're all in Oz. But what we have started to do is every Sunday, I actually see my cousins for about 2 to 2.5 hours because we play Scattergories every Sunday. Now, this is something that never happened prior to COVID, and I've lived in the UK for 13 years. But come to this COVID situation, every Sunday now, I see my cousins and we play Scattergories and I see the kids. It's crazy. It's great.
That's cool. And you're still doing it now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did on Sunday, was driving to Goodwood Motor Circuit, but they phoned me in. So while I was driving, I was able to chat with them while we were all chatting.
Yeah. So that's a really interesting point. And I've definitely seen this two ways, where a lot of people are realizing that they're actually communicating with friends and family more often. They're making time that, even though it's been via, you know, online platforms and software and things like that, like Zoom and Skype and, you know, WhatsApp and all the rest of it, FaceTime. But I've chatted to a bunch of people and like, yeah, I've chatted to this friend and that friend and my cousin and my uncle and, you know, all these people that I rarely talk to, and I've been talking to them regularly now. And I find that really cool because we're actually getting in contact and staying in contact with people in our communities. But how has it been for you from a work perspective, where you're normally face to face with a lot of people and now everything has turned to like virtual?
Yeah, I would actually, honestly, I would say it's difficult because I'm working on two significant projects for this particular client. A lot of the time, I would, being an analyst as well, I would sit down with my respective business people in the business and I spend, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours and gather all the information I needed. And then I would be able to go and do all the documentation, etc. Right now, everyone is so fatigued from constantly being on the Zoom or the WebEx or whatever function that we're using to communicate. We're so fatigued that by the time we get to finishing all these conversations, things are taking like longer. Even though we're, I mean, I'm so grateful because I'm a contractor and I'm still employed. I could have been, you know, they could have cut all the contracts, but no, that didn't happen. And so it's, I would say it is difficult. I mean, I love working from home, but I would prefer to also be in the office. I would prefer the balance where I go into the office 2 to 3 days a week and the other couple of days I work from home to actually do all the documentation, etc.
So it's been difficult from a work perspective to be, let's say, completely efficient and at a high productivity level. Because as you said, everyone's, yes. I heard someone say the phrase Zoom fatigue, you know?
Yeah, there's a thing.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's been difficult. But then on the personal side of things, it sounds like overall you've actually enjoyed the experience. So with the personal side of things and the professional side of things sort of being a little bit different, what have you learnt about yourself during this lockdown period while trying to balance those out?
Probably what I've learned most is that it's okay to go slow. Because I am such a high speed person. I'm always onto the next thing. Being able to just chill out and it's mainly, it's okay to not be doing something all the time is probably my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, I think that's
honestly, great. I think,
It's okay to not do anything. And I think in this day and age when there is always something going on, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people have smartphones and if you've got a few different apps on that, like you could get lost for days, right? So it's always like, I've got to do something. And I think it's one of the reasons, apart from the fact that there's just a lot more research, why meditation now is so popular, because people realize, like, if I don't find something to slow down from, then I just lose days because I'm always working and I'm always on the phone and I'm always on the computer and I'm always doing something. There's always something to do. So if I don't put something in place, almost like a stop, like a wall to, okay, I'm just going to pause here for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour and meditate or breathing or whatever, then you're always going to be doing. And this is something that has just been you and you as a person, as a human, that you were always doing something. So what's a conversation in your head that you have with yourself to say it's okay to do nothing, it's okay to slow down, like when your mind might be saying, Tash, you should be doing something now, Tash, you should do that, Tash, you should do that. How do you stop yourself physically and mentally from then just going, oh, I'll just go and check that or just go and do this?
I have a gin. Joking. Oh my goodness. No, I'm joking. I don't drink gin before 5, I promise. No, I don't. What do I do to stop myself? It's interesting because I go through phases. So I was like, well, if I want to watch TV, for example, I'm like, if I want to watch more than one episode of this particular show, then I'm going to have to do a bike session and watch one. Like, I negotiate with myself. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to be on my trainer. And if I'm going to do a trainer session for like an hour, then, and it, you know, it's just to keep momentum and maintenance, then you can watch one of these shows. And if you want to watch more than one, then you might have to stay on the trainer for a bit longer. Or what do I do to stop myself? I think it's just becoming a little bit more natural now, because I do have my whole time inside these walls of this house. So I get really mentally tired. So I tend to like be okay with, you know, I've just done a hard day's work, even though it's not physical labor, the mental stimulation that goes into what I have to do is exhausting. And then fielding questions from clients as well as customers. I don't know if I answered your question actually, but I kind of just negotiate with myself to.
That's an interesting
to
one.
To be okay with.
Yeah, to almost like give yourself a reward for, you know, doing something. And you know, your reward is to, you know, watch an hour episode of TV while you're exercising, you know, rather than just doing busy work or doing more work.
Yeah, because I can get really, I can finish my actual job at 5, 5:30, 6. Sometimes it goes till 7 o'clock. But and I would never do that if I was in the city. Like if I was in London, I would finish at 5 and be like, that's it. You got the hours out of me. I was good. I was efficient. I was productive. But because we're working from home, we seem to all be working slightly longer because we spend more time during the day on the calls that you don't get enough time to do all the documentation on all the other stuff, the admin stuff. So, yeah, I actually can go from working the full-time job to then shutting that down and going, right, what do I need to do for stump the pedal today?
Yeah.
And so then I could be in the office till 9, 10 o'clock and I'm like, oh, my God, this is not good. I'm exhausted.
So let's talk about Stomp the Pedal. This is your little baby, your little side hustle. Tell us a bit about it.
So Stomp the Pedal, it was established in 2017 in September. I've had this idea to run my own apparel brand specific to women in triathlon, cycling and swimming since, my God, 2013, 2014, like a really long time ago. And, it's so interesting. I only open up my collections for pre-order once a quarter. My stuff is not cheap. It's high quality. It's got a lot of my time and vested, you know, interest and passion and quality in the product. So it's not cheap. But every quarter I open it up. And for the first time in 3 years I turned 3 in September, but for the first time in the history of my brand, during the most difficult times in the world, I tripled in sales. So, which blew my mind. So the last quarter of June completely blew my mind away because we have no races. So these women, these amazing women are still purchasing my stuff. Knowing that they're going to look amazing when they do return back to racing. But yeah, I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's good.
The brand is also getting a lot more exposure, I guess, as well. People won't know this because I'm on a radio. Well, I'm on a podcast, but as a person of color, I never really considered, like I never, never thought of it like this, but I am actually, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person of color that owns a female specific triathlon cycle brand in the world because it's a very male white dominated sport. I thought that was quite random. I was like, wow, I never thought about it like that.
And how does that make you feel, like acknowledging that?
Surreal, mate, surreal. But then at the same time, this is why I'm educating myself, because what others go through in in their lives as a person of colour in America versus in England versus in Australia versus, it's all different. We're subjected to things very different. And I think what some people experience in this day and age, I don't experience this. So it's sometimes it's very hard to relate, hence why I'm educating myself. I'd love to increase the women in sport, women of colour in sport, but just women in sport in general, in the triathlon game. But it's understanding the reasons why they're not doing this before you can start fixing things. And I think people, you know, just throwing money at charities or, you know, creating a kit for people to sell, like you sell it and then people wear it. I don't think this solves the problem at all. So no. I don't do this.
Trying to figure out why people aren't participating in the first place is it's a good it's a minefield, but yeah, it's a good place to start. I will say this, that Stomp the Pedal kit, I do know it's very good quality, but and if you like colourful prints, and if you like out there prints, definitely Stomp the Pedal is a place to go. I bought a cycling jersey for my wife to support Tash. It must have been last year for her birthday. And yeah, you can see Stomp the Pedal kit from way off. So it's not only will make you look good, but it's also very functional, visible. Right? Because cars can see you from like kilometers away. So, you know, it's good in that regards. All right. I'm very mindful of your time and I want to start wrapping it up here, but I do have one final question for you. So let's say next week the world goes back to functioning. I won't say normal, but I say functioning, where everyone is free to roam as they would like and there's no more restrictions and whatever. How would your life change from what it was like 6 months ago and how you act on a daily basis and how you think, based on the experiences you just had for the last 3 or 4 months and the things you've learned about yourself and about the world?
Would I go back?
Well, what would change? Would anything change in your life if everything went back to functioning society next week? What would you take into the future from what you've learned over the last 4 or 5 months?
Oh, I definitely continue with the slowing down. I definitely negotiate working from home and in the office. I'm also looking at how do I change my lifestyle to fit the lifestyle that I actually want? And how do I make that happen? A lot of the time financially, it's what stops me. But then I think to myself, well, I just need to adjust how I spend money or how I earn money and look at different ways so I can actually do more of what I would like to be doing versus what I feel I should be doing. I definitely, my friends and family are even more important now. So I miss hugging, like, you know, not to be able to touch another human, especially when you're on your own. Like, I get it if you're in a family, like an experience of someone who has a family and, you know, is running homeschooling and kids and husbands and all of that will be a completely different experience to, you know, someone like me who has no children. You know, there's no partner, there is no one else in the house. And then when you see someone, the first thing you're like is, can we hug? No, I don't, we can't hug, can we? So you do this like virtual, but you know, that lack of touch, that lack of human touch. Yeah, I'll be hugging more now.
So you just run around and hug everyone.
I should be hugging and kissing everybody. I mean, this is naturally what we do normally. I think that's the hardest thing that's been is like you do eventually get to see someone, but you can't just go and shake hands or pat them on the back or, you know, hug or you can't even have a photo because you can't stand close as well. Like, it's just random stuff you don't think about. But yeah, I definitely keep the slowing right down. And before I make decisions as to why I'm doing something, I'll be questioning why am I doing it? Like, why do I don't need to do 3 Ironmans in a year? Like, why? So these are kind of things that I'll be definitely thinking about now.
That's I think that's a great way to end today. What make sure you understand why you are doing what you're doing, because we all have limited amount of time and energy, and most of us have a limited amount of money, let's be honest, each and every day. So make sure you truly understand why you are spending all of this on the things that you are doing and that are occupying your time and your space in your life. Tash, my good friend, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great to chat.
Awesome. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed my chat with the one and only Iron Tash. Go and check out her Stomp the Pedal range. I will put all the links to her in the show notes. She is Iron Tash everywhere. And go and check out her brand, Stomp the Pedal. It is colorful. It is fantastic. And you won't be disappointed when you go and check that out. And as always, remember to share with your friends if you enjoyed this episode. And we are learning so much from everyone who I'm chatting to. So share it with two or maybe three of your friends and let them know that we are on a journey here to learn from others about what their experiences were like in lockdown. All right, I'm going to leave it there for today and say thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And remember, take care of yourself, stay safe, and keep smiling. Thank you.